The name of this tape is Change Agents, and deals with one of the most important things that's going on in America today, that has ever gone on, ever will go on, and has been going on in America now for about 40 years, at least since the days of World War II. The change agent is somebody who teaches in school, the grade school, middle school, and junior high school. We call them junior highs, they call them middle schools now, and the high school. And the change agent is a member of the National Education Association whose job in life is to change your child and convert your child into a certain stereotype clone. Temporarily, up to now, the results of this cloning is what we call the New Age or Aquarius movement. But it has long roots back into education, the public school system, for years and years and years. The change agent comes from this idea. It comes from the idea, it's hard for some of you folks with very little philosophical background to understand this, but it's from the idea that the only sin is refusal to change. The idea is evolutionary, and it's built on the idea there can be no progress without change, and change is automatically progress, even if it's a change for the worse. Because eventually the change for the worse will become the change for the better. Every cloud has a silver lining, you know, so forth and so on. As dark as night is just before the dawn, all that business. But the idea is the only sin is standing still. So the great cuss word to the change agent is the reactionary. The reactionary, of course, operates by universal law of mathematics. For every action, there's an opposite reaction. That's the law of physics. It holds true in every realm of life, and it is simply ignored by the change agents, with the idea being that when they take an action, it is always forward, and you can't resist it or shouldn't resist it, and if you resist it, you're the what the Christian used to call the devil. Now, the change agents are for a number of things, and of course their projects are carried out by CBS, NBC, and ABC, and the Gannett newspapers 24 hours a day, by selected news reporting and editing films to create belief in the following things. Number one, abolition of all private property. They call these people environmentalists and ecologists. The abolition of inheritance. That's communist. The abolition of patriotism. That's communism or socialism. The abolition of all religion. That's atheism. The abolition of the family, marriage morality, and the proper education of children, that's sex perversion, the lesbians and the queers, and the creation of the world government, that's Roman Catholic. And of course in the Bible it winds up satanic. Now I'm citing from a work called Newswatch Magazine, and this is May-June volume 1990. Published in Bridgetown, Missouri, Bridgeton, Missouri, zip code 63044. First of all, we have what we call the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Page 4. Norman Dodd was Director of Research for the Reese Committee's investigation into tax-exempt foundations, of which the Carnegie Endowment is one. Parts of a speech given by Dodd in Washington, October the 14th, 1976, are reproduced in the Freeman Digest of May 1978, page 9 to 11. Quote, as part of his investigation, Dodd had received access to the minute books of the Carnegie Endowment. These books revealed that from 1908 until 1909, the trustees of that corporation debated what would be the most effective way of changing the lifestyle of the entire nation. Their conclusion was that war would be the most effective. This is Carnegie. Their next question was, how do we involve the United States in a war so their process of change could begin? Their answer was, we must control the diplomatic machinery of the United States. Their next question was, how to accomplish this? Their answer was, we must control the State Department. That was 1909. When World War I was over, the trustees of Carnegie Endowment Foundation confronted a new problem: how to prevent life in the United States from reverting back to what it was prior to 1914. Their conclusion was they must control education in the United States. According to the Carnegie Minute books, as quoted by Dodd, the trustees divided the task between themselves and the Rockefeller Foundation. The Rockefeller Foundation would alter education pertaining to domestic subjects, and the Carnegie Endowment would alter education bearing on international relations. What does this mean? It means the Rockefeller Foundation would change education so that you could be arrested for telling your child to dump the garbage can, or your child could be taken away from you if you spanked your child, or your child had a right to take lessons in sex from a homosexual in a classroom. That's what that means. The Rockefeller Foundation would alter education pertaining to domestic subjects. The Carnegie Endowment would alter education bearing on international relations. What does that mean? That means make compacts and treaties with atheist nations like Russia. That means loan them millions of dollars and help them out to enslave the world and stay friends with them at any cost. As America entered the decade of the 30s, the Commission of Social Studies, the American Historical Society, issued the conclusions and recommendations funded by the Carnegie Corporation. Excerpts of this report can be found in Rene A. Worms' Foundation, page 146 to 148. The report states that the age of individualism in economy and governments is closing and a new age of collectivism is emerging. It goes on to say that this collectivism is one of integration and interdependence, in which individual economic action, individual property rights will be altered and abridged. What'd he say? He said, you must mix with other races and give up your private property. That's what he said. He said, the federal government has owned your private property and you can't own property anymore. First time you don't pay your taxes, the government confiscates your property without trial by jury. Now, what is a change agent? A change agent is a person, organization, or institution that changes or helps to change the beliefs, values, attitudes, or behavior of people without their knowledge or consent. That's an underground agent. Now, when you find the word values here, it means morals. Values is the word used by the National Education Association to get rid of right and wrong. Instead of saying anything is right or wrong, you say it has value or doesn't have much value or little value or has a lot of value. That is, sex perversion as a lifestyle is a good value if you're a sex pervert. Carried, of course, to the logical end, it means that when Oswald shot Kennedy and killed him, he did a very good job because his lifestyle was of that nature. It fulfilled a certain satisfaction in him to attain certain goals, and it was a matter of achievement for him. And he accepted the work as an assassin as being a value for him because it appealed to him as his lifestyle, and don't criticize the minority. He also was very wise in his choice of weapons because he used that which would work for him. Now, nobody believes that, but that's what's taught. Page 5, the purpose is to eliminate existing traditional beliefs. 1, God. 2, the Bible. 3, salvation. Eliminate traditional beliefs, morals, attitudes, and behavior, and to replace them with new beliefs, atheism, evolution, and behavior, animal, dope, drugs, rape, assault, murder, that will render the child susceptible to manipulation, coercion, federal government, control, federal government, and corruption, dope, immorality, for the rest of his life. That's the public school's job. The job is to, public school is to get rid of the Bible. Hence, no Bible classes, no prayer, no Bible in the school. Get rid of old behavior patterns, honesty, loyalty, trustworthiness, tenacity, persistence, and replace them with beliefs and behaviors that render the child susceptible to control, police state, manipulation, the television news media, coercion, federal government, and corruption, the drug traffic, the pornographic traffic, and the rest, for the rest of his life. The change agent in the public school is to take your child and turn your child into an amoral, unethical, stupid clone who can be manipulated by television. Page 5. Because of the Wickard versus Filburn Supreme Court decision, 1942, the result is that local school systems are mere administrative agencies of state or federal governments, and local boards of education are merely window dressing. Therefore, it would be more accurate to call such places government schools. We call it the federal jungle. It is no longer a public school. It is a federal jungle. Or to be even more accurate, they would be called government centers of indoctrination. What's that? Doctrine. Indoctrination. Religious beliefs. The public school system is a series of churches set up on the corner operated by the federal government to indoctrinate your child with certain beliefs. What are they? One, they are places where the concept of learning a particular amount of content as a preparation for life is obsolete and must be abandoned. What does that mean? It means away with reading, writing, and arithmetic. Carl Rogers, in the International Relationship and the Facilitation of Learning, says, the goal of education is the facilitation of change. Period. Government schools are administrative governmental agencies that exist to promote change. They're not there to make your child into a rational, thinking human being at all. Change from what? Change, page 6, from a Christian sovereign nation to a humanist, socialist, interdependent nation state in a dictatorship euphemistically called a global community with world citizens content with enslavement. All the prisoners in a concentration camp have equal rights. There's no discrimination in a concentration camp. Under political socialism, there is collective or government ownership and control of all production and distribution of goods and property. Page 6. The religion that's to be taught in the federal jungle is humanism. We cite Tarasco, Procaso versus Watkins, 367 U.S. Reports, page 495, footnote 11, quote, among religions in this country which do not teach what would generally be considered a belief in the existence of God are Buddhism, Taoism, ethical culture, and secular humanism. See Washington Ethical Society versus District of Columbia, 101 U.S. Appellate Court, Washington, D.C., 371, 249 F, 2nd, 127. In the March 1978 Education Leadership, James K. Uphoff cited a narrow definition of religion, which centers around belief in and worship of a deity. He also gave a broad definition of religion, which is this, quote, this is from Education Leadership, March 1978, page 439. Envision religion as any faith or set of values, that means morals, to which an individual or group gives ultimate loyalty. Ethical culture, scientism, secularism illustrate this concept of religion. The definition applies to all of us. We educators have placed our faith in the critical thinking process as a means of improving our world. My own faith, you understand? Humanism, the New Age Aquarius movement, man is the measure of all things, is a religious faith. My own faith in the value of a need for rationality makes me become a missionary and undertake the task with great zeal. Humanists in the school are dedicated a lot who do indeed display as much, if not more, zeal than a Christian missionary promoting Christianity. Educator Harold Lyon describes a course he gave in effective education and says, the intangible product of the course is 15 humanistically enlightened individuals who are now either teaching their own humanistically oriented classes or working as missionaries to influence others to deal with feelings in the classroom and in curriculum development. Harold Lyon, Learning to Feeling to Learn, Charles E. Merrill Publishing Company, Columbus, Ohio, 1971, page 184. Humanists are religious fanatics. they are religious nuts. In the winter of the 1970 issue of Religious Humanism, the author of an article in another magazine was chastised for calling humanism a false religion. Exception was taken to the charge with the exhortation that faithful humanists are challenged by these assaults to speak and write in defense of the humanistic faith. That's Paul Kurtz in The Humanistic Alternative, Prometheus Books, Buffalo, New York, 1973, page 177. William Russell, Program Officer for the federally funded National Endowment for the Humanities in August 1975, says, this is the Journal of Education, Boston University, August 1975, volume 157, number 3, page 19, quote, an initial clarification to make is that the term humanistic is not the adjectival form of the noun humanities. Humanistic education does not mean education in the humanities disciplines. Then it's something else. It is not enough that we simply teach the humanities. Instruct in English, social studies, art, music, and drama is not enough. Humanism and the humanities are by no means synonymous. That's from the book called To Nurture Humanists by Scobie, Mary, Margaret, and Graham Grace, National Education Association, Washington, D.C., 1970, page 181. Well, what is humanistic education? Well, California Assemblyman John Vasconcelos in March 1974 writes this in the magazine called Thrust, put out by the Association of California School Administrators, Burlingame, California, March 1974, volume 3, number 4, page 11. Quote, humanizing education isn't easy. It's at least controversial and at most subversive. Did you get that? Subversive. That's an underground agent. Quote, a change agent is a person, organization, or institution that changes or helps to change the beliefs, values, or behavior of people without their knowledge or consent. It's subversive because attempts at truly humanizing the public schools must run smack up against the fundamental school realities. It's controversial because it necessarily raises, even challenges, the very deepest held values, I mean morals, and assumptions about human beings. It includes the affective and the cognitive domains. It recognizes a child has a mind of his own, has feeling, has a body, physical and sexual, needing to touch and to be touched. This fellow's going to get your kid in there and strip your kid and let kids play with your kid in school naked. They did out in Anaheim, California. In the first grade, they had the black and white kids undress each other and bathe each other. Hey, man, that was 15 years ago. A child has a mind of his own. Are you telling a parent that about his own child? Has feeling, has a body. Are you trying to tell the parent that? Physical and sexual, need to touch and be touched. Are you trying to instruct a parent? What kind of a parent? Change agents. Educator William D. Hedges answered the question by giving a common core of values that society must adhere to if it is to survive. Oh, these fellows are prophets of gloom. These fellows are calamity howlers. You must adopt this thing we're going to teach you so you can survive. My, what a pessimistic look toward the future. He explains, this view of humankind requires the educative process to free people to be themselves. It values autonomy and interdependence. It decries the imposition of constraints and conventions which can retard the individual's growth. And you know what he said? This view of humankind requires the educative process to free people to be themselves. Let the kid drink and take dope. Let him fornicate and shack up with somebody. It values autonomy, self-government, and interdependence. Well, those words are antonyms. Interdependence, you depending upon somebody else. Autonomy is you depending upon yourself. It decries the imposition of constraints. No whippings. no spanking, no jail sentence, no capital punishment. It decries the imposition of constraints. Turn the kid loose. Let him kill him. Turn him loose. Let him get drunk. Turn him loose. Let him commit adultery. Turn him loose. Let him practice pornography and sex perversion. Don't restrain him. So finally, the answer to the question, from what do humanist schools free people? The freedom is from Christian values, Christian behavior, God, the Bible, and from Christian restraints. That's where you're to be free from. Humanistic education is a movement rather than a discipline. It lacks a sound theoretical base, and therefore little research to prove, disprove, or improve the efficacy of its own techniques. Humanism in the school did not just happen. It is the result of a movement led and promoted by John Dewey. There's the philosopher. A long time ago. The humanistic movement finds expression in many places. Internationally, it appears in the rise and independence of the underdeveloped nations, the United Nations, the World Court, or the freedom of women. The humanists are fiercely determined to achieve the aims of their movement. So determined, in fact, that Arthur Combs was moved to declare in Education Leadership, April 1966, page 530, "The tide of human affairs is running with us." Well, that's fine if Darwin was right. And if Darwin is wrong, it means you're going to hell like a bullet. The tide is running with us. Bald is the way. The humanist movement is inexorable. It will not be stopped. Though habit and tradition may kick up waves of opposition from time to time, these are but surface manifestations. These great tides in human affairs are disastrous to oppose. I believe the humanistic movement is one of those tides, and it is coming in. Meaning what? One world government under the Antichrist. Revelation 13. Higher up, we have California Congressman Don Edwards, page 9, who on October 23, 1973, says in Humanism and Capitol Hill, Las Gatas, California, "I wish I was able to tell you that the Humanist Manifesto too has been read by 535 members of the Congress, by the Supreme Court, by the CIA, by the Pentagon, and by all those various people at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and that further they have declared unanimously that henceforth it would be the cornerstone of American foreign and domestic policy." You see why? Because it's completely unconstitutional. "I wish I could say that, but I can't, does not mean that this very important document is not on Capitol Hill, that it is not going to have a great deal of influence in the dialogue that will go on for many years. The Supreme Court already considers the Humanist Manifesto the cornerstone of American policy, for hasn't the same court decreed there should be no prayer Bible in the government schools? Of course. What about the abortion decision? The Supreme Court has made many decisions that are supportive of human beliefs." Here's Madeline Murray O'Hare, the atheist, in "Atheists Proclaim Their Morality." She meant immorality. In the Catholic Review, Baltimore, Maryland, May 12, 1978, page 1. "Let's face it, there is no way we could have had an atheist convention 10 years ago. Everything today is much better." You mean if Darwin was right? "Part of the reason is public education." Now, you better get a principle here. To unsaved people, progress means more enjoyment of sin and more toleration of sin. Degeneration means less enjoyment of sin and more restraints against sin. To an unsaved monkey man or monkey woman like Madeline Murray O'Hare, progress is measured by the number of sins you can tolerate you didn't formerly tolerate. It simply means the more you get tolerant of filth and wickedness of sin, the more you're improving. But she credits this in part to public education. And how right she is. Just as Christians accept the teaching of Jesus Christ in the Bible, so the humanists have their Bible. It's called Humanist Manifesto 2, published in 1933 and brought up to date in 1973. It's a very short document. And the articles of faith expressed in the manifesto have been worked into every facet of our lives by television. What is taught is promoted in the government schools and is found on all three major television networks. Here's the manifesto. I quote directly. "We believe that traditional, dogmatic, or authoritarian religions that place revelation, God, ritual, or creed above human needs and experience do a disservice to the human species. As non-theists, we begin with humans, not God. They're atheists. There's no place for revelation or God or what you believe above human needs, like the need to fornicate or get drunk. You see how much they don't tell you about? They made you think human needs meant bread, food, and clothing. But they didn't mean that at all, which is apparent by what happens. Humanist Manifesto, quote, "Promises of immortal salvation or fear of damnation are both illusory and harmful. There is no credible evidence that life survives the death of the body." Promise of immortal salvation, that's Jesus Christ, true through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or fear of damnation, that's Jesus Christ, true through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are illusory, he's a liar, and harmful, he should have been crucified. There it is. There is no credible evidence that life survived the death of the body. There are 500 eyewitnesses. If 500 eyewitnesses all testified to the same fact in court, you couldn't overthrow the court ruling in the highest court in the world. 500 eyewitnesses saw him come up from the dead, and the laws of jurisprudence say if the eyewitness testimony of people is reduced to writing, and at that time no evidence is produced against their testimony, and since that time they have not been proved to be conclusively wrong, the evidence stand as written and cannot be overthrown. There are not many of that people that saw the birth of Abraham Lincoln. He might have been an imposter the whole trip. There's not that many people that saw Martin Luther King get shot. He didn't get shot at all. No credible evidence. 500 people, and he ate and drank with 40 of them. He ate and drank with 12 of them for 40 days and 40 nights. No credible evidence. Humanist Manifesto. Ethics is autonomous and situational. Needing no theological or ideological sanction, we strive for the good life here and now. Ethics is autonomous. You make up your own. And situational. You switch them to suit yourself. That's called situation ethics. You know what that is? That's the law of the jungle. Me first, you next, dog eat dog. That's the law of self-preservation. You pick the ethics that suit your situation. Ethics is autonomous and is situational, need no theological or ideological sanction. It doesn't have to be true. Furthermore, it doesn't have to be ideal. We strive for the good life. The good life. What do you mean by good? Oh, that's situational. Depend what you want to call it. I mean, Jim Jones lived a good life and died a good death, just depending on how you look at it. Here and now. You say, Ruckman, nothing. I know what I'm reading. I know these educated jackasses through and through. I can hear them bray through a hurricane. We strive for the good life, meaning what? Not one cotton-picking thing on the face of this earth. Meaning what you think is good for you. Dog eat dog. Humanist Manifesto, we believe in maximum individual autonomy. Of course they don't. They're against preaching on the street. They're against tract distribution. They're against carrying a Bible to school. They're against praying in the school. Maximum individual autonomy? Don't be ridiculous. They don't believe in that. Humanist Manifesto, the right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized. But no right to preach on the campus. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized. But no right not to vote on the income tax. The right to birth control, abortion, divorce should be recognized, but no right to choose what school to go to. The right to birth control, abortion, divorce should be recognized, but no right to keep you out of school, your kid out of a school where the teacher is a homosexual. Why, these people are nothing but jungle animals that believe that might is right. They're fascists. Neither do we wish to prohibit by law or social sanction sexual behavior between consenting adults. Individuals should be permitted to express their sexual proclivities and pursue their lifestyles as they desire. That means they should have access to your 6, 7, 8-year-old children in the bathroom. All during the school day. As they desire. If it's just consenting adults. Oh no, they've gone a long way since then. They've moved way down to 13, 14, 15 years old. What if two consenting adults want to strip and commit fornication in the street in broad daylight? Or sodomy in broad daylight like they do in Key West in front of your children? What rights do you have to protect your children? None. In most states, minors can obtain contraceptives, treatment for venereal disease, and have abortions, all without parental consent or knowledge. Children can be directed to such services by a school counselor, by any change agent at the school who by law is allowed privileged communication with students. Schools teach children they have a right to express their sexual proclivities, to be queers or normal. If, as a result of pursuing their rights, they become infected with venereal disease, or if contraception fails or is not used, then such minor problems can be fixed with backup services and parents will never know. Consenting adults, don't kid us. Humanist Manifesto, the individual must experience a full range of civil liberties, with the exception of preaching on the street. The individual must experience a full range of civil liberties except the right to tell who can come into his restaurant and who can't. The individual must experience a full range of civil liberties except he can't hire and fire the people he wants to hire. Who are these incredible religious hypocrites trying to kid? They believe the individual must experience a full range of civil liberties. They believe nothing of the kind. They don't believe any religion, any individual on the face of this earth has the right to own a motel and tell who can stay and who can't stay overnight. They don't believe any man in a mechanic shop has any right to hire fire who he wants to hire fire, but has to go by their guidelines. You never met a bigger bunch of hypocrites. A full range of civil liberties, your father's mustache. This includes the recognition of individual right to die with dignity, and the right to suicide. I have a right to die with dignity, do I? Suppose I get AIDS and don't die with dignity. And yet I'm not a queer and didn't pick it up and didn't invent it, didn't spread it. And the guy kills me. I have a right. What rights do I have? If you ever wonder why so much legislation has been introduced in the state legislatures to legalize death with dignity, or why the right to suicide is more openly discussed as a viable option, the reasons are found in the Humanist Manifesto. In the school, these civil liberties are made acceptable in death education and through other anti-life indoctrination. They're not lifestyles. They're death styles. Humanist Manifesto. All persons should have a voice in developing the values and goals that determine their lives. Alienating forces should be modified or eradicated. How about the humanists? Can we eradicate them? All persons should have a voice developing the values and goals they determine their lives. Suppose I have the goal of raising some Christian children. Shouldn't I eliminate, eradicate an alienating force? People are more important than decalogues. Yeah, but my kids are more important than a sex pervert. You see these jungle bunnies? These fellows are jungle, primitive, dog-eat-dog, might makes right fascists. All persons should have a voice to develop the values and goals of their determined life. My goal is to raise a Christian family. Alienating forces, like the public school system and the humanists, should be modified or eradicated. But if I went by their manifesto, I should be interested in wiping them out. People are more important than decalogues. Yes, and people are more important than a bunch of crazy, cock-eyed hypocrites who don't know what they're talking about, especially my children. This particular article of faith is more devastating than realized at first glance. The purpose to help children find their own values, meaning the values of the humanists. In reality, these programs are designed to implement the humanist belief that all persons should have a voice in developing the values and goals that determine their lives. But values education declares that parents are no longer permitted to put the value in the child. The humanist puts the values in the child. What for? To replace the Ten Commandments. Quote, people are more important than Decalogues. You know what Decos means? Decalogue, that's the ten words. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt bear false witness. So these commandments are eradicated from the public school system, and you're not allowed to even print them in the public school. You can't even hang them on the walls of a public school in America. You can't tell a child publicly in a public jungle culture that it's wrong to steal. You can't tell him that. That's the Decalogue. You can't tell him it's wrong to commit adultery. Situational ethics allows it. You cannot tell him it's wrong to bear false witness. He can make up his own mind when he wants to lie and when he doesn't want to lie. That's why the fellow said people are more important than Decalogues. The Decalogue is the Ten Commandments. So what he was saying was, what you need is a whole race of people raised without the Ten Commandments. Because they are an alienating force, and they should be eradicated. People are more important than Decalogues. Alienating forces should be modified or eradicated. So what they do? They eradicated the Ten Commandments. You can't find them posted in one public school in America. One AACL lawyer defending a thief in a trial insisted the Ten Commandments be taken down off the wall of the courtroom because they were prejudicial against his client. Because they said, thou shalt not steal. And after all, people are more important than the Decalogue. You know what he meant? He meant immoral animals are more important than moral regulations. So you eradicate the moral regulations, and then you produce the animal who makes up his own regulations. Dog eat dog, me first, you next. Humanism is a practical or polite term for atheism. And what it means simply is every one of these fellows thinks he's his own God, and he's appealing to the devil in you that makes you think you're God to act as God and get rid of God. That's the humanistic manifesto, the humanist manifesto. That's why they can't tolerate the Ten Commandments even being posted on a wall. Because they want to steal, they want to bear false witness, they want to commit adultery, and when the situation is just right, they will. Why? Because they're under no moral restraint. Moral restraint for them is an alienating force. And this alienating force prevents developments. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, this is the Humanist Manifesto, which is a fascist setup for federal control to do away with the rights of everybody who doesn't agree with a practical atheist. Page 11. We must expand communication and transportation across frontiers. Travel restrictions must cease. To reach this goal, former President Carter had announced the intention of his administration to deregulate international airfares. It is just a coincidence that his intention satisfies the demand of the Humanist Manifesto? Of course not. Travel restrictions simply mean this. They mean that you get searched when you go, and while the government is checking on the money you take out of the country and bring into the country, down to the last dollar, anybody can get into the country as a terrorist or a homosexual VD. It got into this country through the air, by the way, through an airline steward, a male steward. In plain words, the travel is not going to be restricted, but you can't take anything out or bring anything in without the government having it on a computer. Humanist Manifesto, page 11. The world community must engage in cooperative planning concerning the use of rapidly depleting resources. The planet Earth must be considered a single ecosystem. Excessive population growth must be checked. Now, do you see all this must be? The planet Earth must. The growth must. We must expand. We must. You know what that is? That's an order. That's mandatory. That is absolute, an absolute monarchy, a total dictatorship where you have to or else. That's your humanist manifesto. We must do this. We must do that. This must be this. This must be that. It's enforced. Enforced rules and regulations by practical atheists on every area of your life. And as you know by now, this is the public school curriculum. This is being taught in grade school, as well as middle school and high school. Now let's see what the man actually said. The world community, you know what that means? That means India and South Africa, and China and Spain and Italy, must engage in cooperative planning, that is, they must tell the United States and England how to set up their countries, concerning the use of rapidly depleting resources. That is, they must have access to your resources. You understand? The planet Earth must be considered a single ecosystem. Why must it be? Because they said it must be. Excessive population growth must be checked. How? By murder and abortion. Excessive population growth must be checked by artificial means of stopping birth, contraceptives, running contrary to the, quote, religious faith and beliefs of well over 800 million people. But what are 800 million people alongside these dictators? Nobody. Another dogmatic religious fiat is delivered as an inquisitorial decree by the Religious Council of the Humanists. Quote, exploitation of natural resources must end. You see why there's an energy crisis? The crisis isn't that there are any natural resources. The crisis had to be created to satisfy the humanist demand for cooperative planning to save depleting sources. Exploitation of natural resources. You know what that means? I mean, never take these fellows for what they say. They're the biggest liars in the face of the earth outside of the Bible correctors and revisers. They give any pope a run for his money in this world for just out and out lying. You know what they mean by exploitation of natural resources must end? That is, you stop it or you go to jail. They mean a mullet fisherman has to have a license to throw a net in salt water. You understand? They mean that a shrimper can be fined $500 if he catches a redfish in his shrimp net. Do you understand? They mean that if you go out in Chesapeake Bay and catch you a bass, you have to throw him overboard even if he weighs 10 pounds. You understand? Exploitation of natural resources must end. You know what that means? That means 500 lumbermen are to be fired from their jobs and left to unemployment with their families in order to save a white owl. You understand what that means? Exploitation of natural resources must end. You know what that means? That means American industry is to come to a stop until the atheistic nations, the pagan nations, and the Catholic nations catch up with her financially. Because they have to work as, quote, cooperative planning in a single ecosystem. Nobody has a right to get ahead economically. That's, quote, exploitation. Do you understand? You know what that is? That's propaganda to further the humanistic socialistic goal of a world dictatorship. Educators do not deny that the purpose or goal of education is to bring about change. Of course, they do not admit it for general public knowledge, but they do admit it in their journals and books. So here we have Educational Leadership, December 1964, page 147, Harold Drummond, quote, the basic goal of education is change. Now, did you get that? The basic goal of education is not to teach a child to think. The basic goal of education is not to produce responsible citizens. The basic goal of education is not to teach a child how to read and write and figure. The basic goal of education is change. Human change in desirable directions. Desired by who? Why, by the humanist, of course. This issue focuses attention upon the school as a change agent. And the specific focus is on changing people. Got that? The job of the school system is to change your child from what you want to be into what they want it to be. If uninformed parents were to listen to such incredible definition of the goal of education, they'd ask many questions. First of all, what kind of change are they talking about? I'll tell you. A gray mongrel race of clones who are computerized to reflexes like an animal and have no morals. What do they mean by human change in desirable directions? They mean the way they want your child to turn out. What do they mean when they call the school a change agent? Well, here's the definition. Education Leadership, May 1967, page 717, Carl Rogers, quote, "The goal of education must be to develop individuals who are open to change. The goal of education must be to develop a society." Why, these fellows are animal trainers. They believe your child came from the animals. And their job is to turn your animal into an animal that'll fit into an animal society. And you pay them to do this. The goal of education must be to develop a society in which people can live more comfortably with change than with rigidity. You know what that means? No rules. In the coming world, the capacity to face the new appropriately is more important than the ability to know and repeat the old. Meaning what? Meaning any change is evolutionary. Every change is forward, every change is upward, and any change is better than staying in the right place if you're in the right place. Change from what to what? Why must schools develop people who are open to change? For what purpose? Should the goal of education be to develop society or to educate individuals? They already answered. Is to develop an animal society of animals who came from animals that can be controlled by a dictator. They just don't say that. That's what they have in mind. Education Leadership, December 1964, page 148. We need to de-emphasize tradition and the past. You know what that means? I give it to you in one line. It means ignore the lessons of history. De-emphasize the past. Those that don't learn the lessons of history are condemned to repeat the lessons of history. All you've been given so far is Adolf Hitler's setup for the Third Reich. That's all you've been given here for something like almost an hour. And if you don't learn the lessons of history, you repeat them. Education can no longer afford to deplore and resist change. Educators can no longer afford to deplore this change. Educators, he's telling you that teachers have to go by this thing here. They can no longer. Absolute dogmatism. There's no toleration here. There's no broad-mindedness here. These are fiats. These are religious decrees, like the Council of Trent. Too many teachers are still insisting that things must be done the right way. Do you mean to tell me it's wrong to do them the right way? Of course, if you're a change agent, because to a change agent, there is no right way except his way. Messiness, noise, confusion, and mistakes, out of which may come originality, creative, and genius, are suppressed to favor neatness, quiet, order, and being right, out of which came conservatism, rigidity. You know what he says? He says, for the purpose of the original creative geniuses in the class, you should put up with messiness, noise, confusion, and mistakes, out of which may come. I told you at the beginning of the tape how the system was based. It's based on the fact that the exception overthrows the rule. I wasn't just talking. This is what is found in Carl Rogers' quote, Education Leadership, in an article called A Plan for Self-Directed Change in an Educational System. Messiness is okay, noise is okay, confusion is okay, mistakes are okay for the whole class, because out of it may come, which may come, creativity and genius. The inductive method. The exception overthrows the rule. The minority rules the majority. Apartheid. The most powerful lobby forcing change in the school is the NEA, the National Education Association. The goal of the NEA is not to improve the quality of academic education, but to bring about social and political change and financial security for its members. The love of money is the root of all evil. The NEA is not there to get quality education for anybody. They're there just to change the classroom so you can make social and political changes in line with their religious convictions. If parents were to read even a few of the publications churned out by the NEA, they would have no difficulty understanding the role that it has been and continues to be played by this change agent operation. Over the years, the NEA journal, Today's Education, has provided an inside track on revolutionary events to come in the schools. The reading of the NEA book, Schools for the 70s and Beyond, would convince any doubting parent that promotion of traditional academic education is about the last goal of the NEA. So what you have in the 1990s is a product of the NEA. You have a dope-headed, fornicating jungle of illiterates. And they're the world's joke. American quality education overseas is a joke. Almost any Japanese or Chinaman can come over here and rack by the dumb Americans like they didn't know what they were doing, because he was raised in an atmosphere that put emphasis on quality and academic education and the traditional views of a right way to conduct a classroom without messiness, noise, confusion, and mistakes. But the NEA is so worried about oppressing a genius. You know what the odds are for that? Or creativity. They're creating plenty of illegitimate babies. They got to kill more illegitimate babies in a year than got killed in World War II in 4 years. The NEA doesn't just write books. It is involved in teacher training and revision, and in particular, curriculum development. For instance, in the celebration of the U.S. Bicentennial, the NEA made available to schools a One World propaganda program titled A Declaration of Interdependence. What for? To overthrow the Constitution. Education for a global community. With who at the head? You get one guess. The NEA. The global community with you under them. The NEA did not wait for schools to ask for the program. 17 different projects were launched to implement it, according to NEA advertising. In spite of the educators' insistence that every facet of education must be non-political, the NEA is very much involved in politics. Back in 1974, 1.5 million member outfit expected to spend about $4 million through its local, state, and national affiliates to elect candidates who would support practical atheism. In the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, California, October 22, 1974, this is found, and in 1976, the NEA admitted it had 169 serving as full-time delegates to the Democratic Convention. The main political thrust of practical atheism in Congress is Democratic senators. The NEA has a predictable liberal bias on every controversial issue that comes along. In 1975, the NEA's 127-member Resolutions Committee met in Washington, D.C. They proposed radical resolutions drafted by the committee, including approval of homosexual teachers. And it was resolved that no person should be dismissed or demoted because of sexual orientation. Human Events, June 14, 1975. you cannot fire a queer from a school. The sex pervert is to have access to your children from the time they're 6 years old to the time they're 18. And you cannot be fired just because you're a sex pervert. Human Events, June 14, 1975. The resolution in favor of keeping sex perverts on the payroll is an indication of the hostility the NEA bears toward parents who oppose sex perverts. That's the truth of it. The NEA publication, Working with Parents, National School Public Relations, page 34, is a guide for teachers and other educators, and advised teachers that using a citizen advisory committee at every stage of planning a sex education program can be a strong force in quieting parent protests. The parent has no civil rights. The parent has no right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the parent can have no goals for its child. The NEA is to quiet the parent and shut him up to get the queer into the classroom. The publication cautioned that in spite of very careful preparation, some parents and citizens whose personal attitudes are warped. You understand the sex pervert's not warped? Do you understand that? He's not perverted, he's normal. But the parent who doesn't want the queer teaching the child is warped. Did you get that? Page 13. From Working with Parents, the National School Public Relations Association, the NEA, Washington, D.C., page 34. Whose personal attitudes are warped. Of course, a lesbian or a sex pervert or a child molester, they're not warped. They're normal. It's the parent who doesn't want them teaching the child that's warped. Do you understand? May complain or may try to sabotage the program. Any intelligent protest, page 13, or questioning of any program is immediately construed as the result of warped attitudes. Recognizing that many people crumble and give up when subjected to a name-calling attack, parents are often labeled extremists or right-wingers. In the February 1970 NEA publication, The National Elementary Principal, number 4, February 1970, page 63, the principals were urged to resist the biased and unreasonable attacks of extremist groups. Now, here are some groups that are not extremists. Monkey men, evolutionary apes who came from rocks. They're not extremists. Democratic senators who believe in race mixing and contact with people who spread venereal disease, they're not extremists. People who promoted and supported Russian communism for 40 years and bragged about it as a great system and tried to pattern the American government after it and then saw it collapse, they're not extremists. People who burn flags and urinate on flags are not extremists. People who picture Christ bathing urine or taking shots as a dope addict are not extremists. People who make movies about Christ shacking up with Mary Magdalene are not extremists. The extremists are people that want their kids raised clean as Bible-believing people who love God and have moral standards. Those are right-wing extremists. Why? Because the NEA is so far left that they think somebody like Reagan or President Bush is a radical fanatic. In the National Elementary Principal, number 4, February 70, page 63, the school principals were urged, you understand these are grade school and middle school principals, to resist the biased attacks and unreasonable attacks of extremist groups. The true aims and goals of the NEA could not have been more clearly articulated than they were by former California Governor Ronald Reagan in the work called Teachers Group Seeks National System, Like Hitler's, for the U.S. Schools, printed in the Los Angeles Times, February the 5th, 1976, Part 1, page 23. Hitler's Third Reich is the Humanist Manifesto, just like you get it, with all the dogmas and decrees set out dogmatically to be enforced against the family. Speaking before a Florida rally, Reagan charged the NEA really wants a federal educational system, what we call a federal jungle, a national school system so that Little Willie's mother would not be able to go down and see the principal or even the school board. She'd eventually have to take her case up to Congress in Washington. I believe this is the road to disaster and the end of academic freedom. He continued his charge comparing the NEA goal to the system that existed in Nazi Germany. In Hitler's Germany, he explained where they had a nationalized school system. When Hitler said, burn the books, they burned the books. That's why the NEA hated Reagan and hates any Republican. They want to burn some books. They're not going to burn the books by Hemingway, who blew his brains out, or some queer like Tennessee Williams. They're going to burn the books written by Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, and Paul. On with this mess. Change agents, their preparation, purpose, and duty. Page 15. The teacher is given 31 ways of discovering a great deal about the children we teach. Now, this is prying into the private lives of the children and their families instead of teaching them how to read and write. And include such manipulative and prying techniques as the following. 1. Encourage role-playing and seeing children's reactions. Those are animal experiments. Read stories without any ending and have the children complete the stories. Visit homes of children. Keep diaries. Quote, in a sense, teachers are social engineers, but it cannot be done without the previous steps of discovery and diagnosis as well as of goal setting. You know what he's saying? He's saying the teacher is hired to manufacture your child and turn your child into a structure that matches the NEA, and you can't do that unless you pry into the child's private background and private business and then set goals contrary to those set in the home. The social engineering begins the day the child first enters school. It must begin because, quote, the basic personality patterns may have been formed before children enter school. They can be changed, but the later that is postponed, the more difficult is the process. That if the child may come to school, having been raised in Sunday school and Nativification Bible school and believing the Bible and quoting Bible verses, but you've got to change him quick. Schooling for the Future, October 15, 1971, report of Task Force C, page 14, from the Educational Inquiry, Incorporated, Los Angeles, California, quote, the child of suburbia who is likely to be a materialist and somewhat of a hypocrite, that is, an American capitalist who is raised to believe in values and loyalty and hard work, is a hypocrite. He tends to be a striver in the school, a conformist, and above all, a believer in being nice, polite, clean and tidy. He is often conspicuously self-centered. In all these respects, the suburban child patterns his attitudes after those of his parents. That is, he comes in nice, polite, clean and tidy, and is a hard worker, a striver. So you are to change him. You see, what do you convert him into? An immoral bum. We are told that, quote, if we do not alter this pattern, our society may decay. Get rid of people nice, who are polite, clean, and tidy, and want to strive to attain goals, because they're going to destroy your society. What society could a nice, polite, clean, tidy person destroy who is a hard worker? One last word of warning. From the Social Studies for the 70s, page 254, quote, all records which teachers have of children should be kept confidential and placed in a safe place where no one can find them. Attention to this can save teachers many a bad moment and in some cases their jobs. You say, why? They are subversive agents keeping hidden records on your kids, and you can't look at the record. Of course, the IRS can break open all of your records anytime they want to, but they can't get what the teacher has kept about your child. Nice, tolerant system, isn't it? When a teacher closes the classroom door in the morning and is alone with the students, the real curriculum begins. Eventually, the time of reckoning may come with crisis and community furor. Interpretation. When a sex pervert shuts the classroom door in the morning on boys and girls, the real curriculum begins as he demonstrates sex techniques. Eventually, the time of reckoning may come with cries and community furor and fury against the perverts. You have to help these fellows out. They're very stiff-lipped. In an article on how teachers can innovate and still keep their jobs from the Journal of Teacher Education, Spring, 1975, number 1, page 60 to 62, 10 guidelines are proposed to keep the teacher in there, the subversive agent, in charge of your child with secret records you can't examine. 1, keep the door closed. The successful teacher innovates quietly and without fanfare. That is, the sex pervert is demonstrating sex techniques. It's a closed-door operation. Use a special vocabulary. Avoid change. Why? Because that's what he's doing. Fun, new, sensitivity, students' rights, students' choice. You understand that? Don't make them aware of the fact they have any rights or choices. Why? Because they're being taken against their will into a global community under the religious convictions of a fascist. Publicly stress instead mastering basics, which they're not doing, student responsibility, which they don't have, hard work, which you just were told was the characteristic of a suburban hypocrite, respect, traditional values, discipline, of which they have none according to the manifesto, and results. That's what you put stressed publicly. Enlist the students in your game plan. Make a rule and gain the students' agreement that they will not ask other teachers why they do not do what you are doing. Carry a book around. Potential blockers will give you more latitude to operate if you appear to know what you're doing. My, what a confession. You'll do better if you appear to know what you're doing. We know the jackasses don't know what they're doing the time they start, the time they finish. They need a change agent to get them out of their outworn medieval, mid-Victorian methods of do-goody. Name your program as early as you feel you can. Use titles which will not alienate the general public. That if you have a class in sex perversion, call it family planning. If you have a class showing people how to commit fornication without knocking up their girlfriend, call it domestic techniques. We know these people. They're the biggest hypocrites that ever lived. You talk about doublespeak. Page 16. Teachers were ordered to oppose SB 196, the Parental Rights for Public School Children. March 22, 1974, newsletter of the Prince George County's Education Association. The teachers were warned to oppose pending legislation that would give parents access to their children's textbooks. You don't have a right to know what your child is reading because you're not the parent. The NEA perverts the parent. The change agent, the subversive fascist in the classroom, he is the parent. And he has a right to know what your child is learning, but you don't have any right to look at it. The NEA ordered to tell the legislators this legislation is not needed, may render schools ineffective as change agents since it would place all curriculum in the hands of parents. And wouldn't that just be too terrible? The change agents and their cohorts are determined to eliminate any parental participation that is seen as a deterrent to efforts to change the child into the one world, one sex, non-sex, unisex, gray, amalgamated, leavened, bastard, mongrelized, computerized, operated clone. The parents should not be allowed to look at the textbook. In 76, legislation to establish parental rights to review educational materials again surfaced in the Maryland legislature. As would be expected, the education establishment was in opposition, and they had quite a bit of support. On March the 3rd, the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Maryland sent a letter to the Maryland Congress of Parents and Teachers which stated, We applaud the Maryland Congress of Parents and Teachers' position in opposition to SB 165. You understand what this is? This is the American Civil Liberties Union denying a parent the liberty of looking at a textbook its child is taught with. That's the ACLU. We believe the provisions for public hearings present a serious threat to freedom of inquiry and expression. Freedom? What do these people know about freedom? The primary problem with regard to textbook is not denial of parental access, but dullness, lack of variety, and avoidance of controversy. They want controversy. We hope that we may be able to work with you in the future against other threats to academic freedom. Every good change agent recognizes the value of the closed classroom door. Values educator Sidney Simon has declared the teachers have had major success by closing their doors and doing things they believe in. Well, how about masturbation? How about I take dope? How about a belly dance with the bumps and the grinds to a rock record? In the book Learning, December 72, Simon says, "I always bootleg the value stuff under other titles." Of course you do. You call rock music an enriched curriculum. I was assigned to teach social studies in the elementary school, and I taught values clarification. I was assigned current trends in the American education, and I taught my trend. There it is. That's the absolute, straight, out-and-out, plain confession. The teacher doesn't teach what he's hired to teach, and the curriculum doesn't tell you what he's teaching. The title of the class is For the Suckers, Current Trends in American Education and Social Studies, What Was Taught, Get Rid of Your Belief in the Values You Were Taught, and Learn the Trend of the Teacher. That's what the man said. I always bootlegged. It's a subversive agent. The value stuff under other titles. I was assigned to teach social studies, but I taught values clarification. I was assigned current trends, and I taught my trend. Quote, the more visible change is, the more threatening it becomes, and the more it will be resented. Couch the language of change in the language of the status quo. That is a lie. After all, you can't post on the bulletin board, thou shalt not bear false witness. You can't have the Decalogue of the Ten Commandments posted anywhere in the school, so why should the teacher tell the truth? The teacher is encouraged to lie. That's in Pace Setters and Innovation, Social Change, 1977, OE-2103-69, from the United States Government Printing Office, Washington, D.C. The new letter from the NTL, Institute for Applied Behavioral Science, says, couch the language of change in the language of the status quo. Couch the language of religion in the language of philosophy. Count the language of the dollar in the language of the mark. Couch the language of morality in the language of immorality. Lie. Bear false witness. There is no Decalogue. Academic freedom simply means the teacher has a right to lie to your children undercover behind a closed door to change your child into the kind of child the teacher wants your child to be. That's modern education. That isn't Baptist rabble-rousing. That's not from a right-wing extremist. That's from their publications. Emphasize the new program's similarity to familiar programs. Why? Because it's not similar. Unobtrusively change one unit, the innovation, if successful, will spread. And finally, the change agents are directly connected with Washington. They operate as federal agents under the federal government. From the Pace Setters in Innovation, OE-2103-69, the U.S. Government Printing Office, you have Project ES-001-996, Project ES-001-783, Project ES-001-003, 2010, showing teachers how they can serve as change agents for the federal government, how they can act as in-house change agents or participate in laboratories and human relations, how workshops will be established by the federal government to train teachers as change agents, an emphasis how will be placed on creating behavioral change in students through a combination of counseling and occupational training. The issue becomes what values and therefore whose values are to be severed by change. There is a natural tendency for the change agent to promulgate his own values. And in such circumstances, we must ask whether these values are representative of those possessed by the target system. Is the change agent really concerned about the welfare of the target system, or does the change activity satisfy his or her needs for power and control? Easy. Power and control. The purpose is to satisfy the desire of the government to amass power and control in order to facilitate the new mongrel New World Order, and the teacher is a federal agent hired by the federal government to destroy your child in the name of progress. Going by the evolutionary concept of Darwin and the philosophical hallucination of John Dewey, that any change is for the better, any change is forward, but change has to be made. The changes that have to be made are very simple. Your females must be converted to male, your male must be converted to female, your Orientals must be converted to Occidentals, your Occidentals must be converted to Orientals, your Catholics must be converted to Protestants, your Protestants must be converted to Catholics. You must teach the child that black is white and white is black to get along. The New World Order is more afraid of war than they are of death or slavery. So the way to get rid of wars is to get rid of differences. So the curriculum set up by every federal jungle in America with a change agent in the classroom is a curriculum to make normal people sex perverts and make sex perverts normal. You get rid of differences. The trick is poor people are to be made rich, rich people are to be made poor, old people act like children, and children are making decisions like adults. That's all there is to the American public educational system now, from the cradle to the grave. And these are professional federal change agents, subversive agents sent by the government to destroy your child in order to make him fit into their system. That is public education America in 1990, and it will increase in tempo in the next 5 or 6 years. This material we've given has been documented out of the writings of the change agents. It's been documented thoroughly by federal government publications. It's from the Newswatch magazine, May-June 1990, which is available at Bridgeton, Missouri, zip code 63044. And the editor of this issue is David J. Smith. Inquiries and correspondence can be mailed to the editor, Newswatch Magazine, 11824 Beaverton, Bridgeton, Missouri, 63044. We haven't given you anything on this tape that isn't thoroughly documented by the NEA and the change agents and the federal government themselves, declaring openly what they intend to do with your child. They intend to destroy your child the first day your child gets to school and remake him after a clone pattern. Pattern after the Humanist Manifesto, which is absolute federal fascism, controlling every facet of your life and beginning with your children. That's the setup. Even so, come Lord Jesus.